A number of years ago, Pastor Rick conducted a graveside committal for a 70-year-old man. There were four people in attendance at the graveside service: Pastor Rick, and a funeral director, and two cemetery workers. This man had no friends, no acquaintances, no family present. The next of kin was listed as Regional Social Services. As Pastor Rick spoke the words of committal, "We commend to Almighty God our brother," he suddenly hesitated. In that brief moment before he spoke the deceased's name, he realized that even though he had never met this man before, even though no one showed up to say goodbye, even though complete strangers stood before his casket, this man was a brother. After the committal, Pastor Rick stopped at Tim Hortons, and sprawled on the walkway at the side of the coffee shop was a homeless man. He lay just a few feet from the entrance, passed out, a small liquor bottle beside him, and a bag of his entire belongings. Yes, this man too was a brother. Do we really see the downtrodden, the unemployed, the stranger, the socially unacceptable, the lonely, the homeless, whether they be in their 50s and 60s, or whether they be 16 to 25? Do we ever see these people as our brothers and sisters? Luke tells us that while Jesus was waiting for his meal, he noticed that the guests at the banquet were vying for seats. They wanted to sit next to someone of equal or greater social prominence. Their behavior revealed to him their attitude toward others. One author writes, "Seeing how people behave in social situations and circumstances gives us a window into their soul. How we treat one another reflects what we think of one another." At this dinner table, Jesus saw people maneuvering and jockeying for position to put themselves in a superior or advantageous position. Everyone thought that they deserved the best seat in the house. Everyone wanted to sit next to an important person. Everyone thought that they were more important than the next person. So Jesus decided that they needed to hear a lesson in humility. I'm sure that many of us may say that we as a congregation would not be accused of being pushy, social climbers, or prestige seekers. I do not remember anyone ever shoving or maneuvering as a congregation at the last potluck barbecue trying to get the best seat in the room. Though yes, just maybe some of us are guilty of the same lack of humility as those people at Jesus' table who sought the place of honor, only we do it in more subtle ways. When we see someone in need, do we really consider that person to be our equal? Is the elderly lady who pushes the shopping cart in with her meager belongings on the streets of downtown Kitchener really our sister? Is that man sprawled on the sidewalk at Tim Hortons our brother? And what about the people in our own neighborhoods or the people with whom we work? Do we really view them as equals? Was there ever a time in your life when you believed you were just one cut above the crowd so that you deserve special treatment? You do not have to wait in line. You do not have to jump through the same hoops as everyone else. You deserve VIP attention. Honestly, we've probably all felt this way at one time or another. And I know that I have. This is the attitude that Jesus was aiming at. This is the attitude that he hoped to remove from the mind of his disciples. He wanted them to realize that the way of humility did not include preferential treatment of oneself, but called one to always put the needs of others, the desires and the wants of other people first by allowing them to have the VIP service. A spirit of humility sees every other person as greater than themselves. Now I'll repeat that. A spirit of humility sees every other person as greater than themselves. A story is told about a devastating famine in Russia that brought great misery and suffering. A beggar, weak and near death, approached the famed Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy and asked him for assistance. Tolstoy searched every pocket for money, but to his dismay, he discovered that he had none, not a single coin. He took the beggar by the hand and he said, "Do not be angry with me, my brother. I have nothing with me." The man's face lighted up as if an inner light had been turned on, and he whispered in reply, "But sir, you called me brother. That's the greatest gift you could give me." Do we really see the downtrodden, the unemployed, the stranger, the socially unacceptable, the lonely, and the homeless as our brothers and sisters? On a lighter side, a young minister was asked by the local funeral director to hold a burial service at a small cemetery for someone with no family or friends. The minister started out early to get to the cemetery, but he quickly got himself lost, making several wrong turns, and eventually, half an hour late, he saw a backhoe and its crew, but the hearse was nowhere in sight, and the workers were eating lunch. The pastor went to the open grave, and he found the vault lid already in place. Taking out his book, he read the service. Feeling guilty because of his lateness, he preached an impassioned and lengthy service, sending the deceased to the great beyond in style. As he was returning to his car, the pastor overheard one of the workers say, "I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years and I've never seen anything like that." Yes, getting back to the gospel. After telling the parable about the seating arrangements, Jesus turned his attention to the host of the banquet. Jesus undoubtedly realized that the guest list was a who's who list of the city's rich and famous. Jesus says to the host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." This is the kind of hospitality Jesus speaks of, and it's a dying practice in our culture, sadly. People seldom invite others to their home except to entertain and to impress. In ancient culture, hospitality was the responsibility of every citizen. To withhold hospitality, especially towards a stranger, was considered a grave insult. Jesus saw that the host's hospitality had degenerated into self-serving entertainment. He told him that rather than invite people who can repay you with a dinner or invitation or a business deal, you should invite those who cannot repay you. This is true hospitality, which is seldom practiced today. Hospitality strips away pride because it allows others into our home even when we have not cleaned the house. It permits others to see our clutter. Hospitality puts people before things because it extends an unconditional invitation. Hospitality is the visible display of God's love. It requires time and effort. This congregation has moved in the direction to recapture that spirit of hospitality. This hospitality is very much present at our barbecue luncheons, our celebrations, and at our other special events. But you know what? While visitors may say that we are a very warm and friendly church on Sunday morning or at an event, that is not the true test of hospitality for a church. The true measure of a church's hospitality toward its visitor or visitors is not measured on Sunday or at an event, but from Monday to Saturday. Congregations need to be known for gracious, caring hospitality, not only on Sunday morning, but also from Monday through Saturday. Congregations need to be known for gracious, caring hospitality, not just Sunday mornings, but throughout the duration of the week. Pastor Rick suggests there are a number of ways to do this. You could set a goal to invite someone to dinner, not someone you already know or have had over for dinner before, but someone you do not know, a new member of the congregation, or a coworker you have never had much to do with, or even a complete stranger. Each Sunday, those of us who go out for lunch together have the opportunity to show our hospitality towards visitors by inviting them to join us and even pay for their meal. When we go out for lunch during the week, instead of sitting with our friends or colleagues, consider sitting with someone who is eating alone, someone who is not a member of any group, maybe even someone who everyone else may think a little bit odd. You may think of something more practical that you could do that fits your style. And I invite you just to take a moment and think about one thing that you could do to be more inviting and welcoming and hospitable towards someone that you do not know. Hospitality cannot be done by living behind our closed doors in our isolated homes. It cannot be done if we are only inviting our friends and acquaintances to eat with us. It cannot be done if we are neglecting the hurting, the downtrodden, and the outcast. They are all members of our extended family. It's not taking people out to dinner to recruit new church members. It's not inviting people to our homes to draft new volunteers, although those are very good things to do. It's not reaching out to others to earn merit points from God. Hospitality is that done to extend the gift of God's love to all people, that love that we have graciously been given. Do we really see the downtrodden, the unemployed, the stranger, the socially unacceptable, the lonely, and the homeless, regardless of their age, as our brothers and sisters? May we always be a congregation that offers true hospitality, the gift of God's love to all people, in our church, in our community, and in our homes. Amen.